God's word before us this morning comes from the New Testament book of Hebrews. We'll be reading from the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 19. In the Pew Bible, this you'll find on page 1211. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19, Pew Bible, page 1211. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is God's word before us today, and let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless the words that I speak today and the hearts and minds of your people, that all that I say and that they hear is to your glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Encouragement. It's not only important, it's vital for salvation. In 1995, twin baby girls, Kyrie and Brielle, were born prematurely. For the most part, Kyrie experienced no major problems, but Brielle struggled mightily. Both of them were placed into separate incubators. Brielle cried, and she cried to the point that she was gasping for breath and blue in the face. They tried everything. They wrapped her in blankets. Mom held her. Dad held her. Nothing seemed to work. Finally, one of the nurses broke protocol and put both girls in the same incubator. Kyrie almost nonchalantly wrapped her left arm over her sister in an endearing embrace. And immediately things changed. Brielle's frantic crying stopped, her pinkish color returned to normal, her heart rate stabilized, and her temperature rose to normal. True story. Encouragement isn't only important, it's vital for survival. And so today, as we continue to marvel at the revolutionary nature of the gospel, how God's amazing love and forgiveness in Christ changes us and the world around us, we learn this lesson from God. In community, we embrace encouragement. In Lutheran circles, we like to joke that there are two important questions to ask whenever we're discussing something of a biblical nature. The first question is, what does this mean? And the second is, where is this written? Those of you who have gone through Luther's small catechism in your confirmation training recognize those as questions that Luther loved to ask. And so today we begin by asking the first of those questions, what is encouragement? Our text states, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. By God's own definition, encouragement is to spur somebody on toward a specific end. It's to stir somebody up toward some particular action. Now, if you're like me, you might look at this as being a negative thing, like it's part of a revolt or a revolution. Think, for instance, of what happens when a rider digs his spurs into the side of a horse. There's discomfort and there's pain, isn't there? But that action causes the horse to giddy up and go. That's how the inspired author uses the word in our text this morning. His intent is to sharpen, to stimulate, and to inspire. He means to motivate others, not in a negative way, but in a positive one. He means to instill in others the desire to move ahead and get back into the swing of life. Living in the 21st century, especially in the land of America, we have so much at our disposal, don't we? We have things at our disposal that others in the world can only dream about. America really is one of the most prosperous countries in the world. The standard of living that we enjoy really is surpassed by no one. What God once said about his promised land of Palestine in the Old Testament, you and I can say of our land today, a good land. A land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey. A land where bread is not scarce and we lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and we can dig copper out of the hills. My, oh my, we live in a land that God has blessed hundreds and thousands of times over. And yet, what is it that so often characterizes our lives today? What is it that disappoints us and discourages us and even leads us to despair? Isn't it the lack of community? The loss of personal interaction? The feeling of not being part of a family? Isn't that what baby Brielle experienced when she was all alone in her personal incubator? Isolated from others, separated from that endearing embrace of her sister? Encouragement isn't just important, it's vital for our survival. God himself says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How about you and I look for ways to get people out of their funk, to get them up out of their own pit in life and get back into the service of a living and loving God. In good Lutheran practice, I now ask the second question, namely, who should encourage? The short answer is every single Christian. Why can I say that? Our text begins, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. The inspired writer is taking us back to Old Testament times and to the ceremonial law which God established for his people. Under that law, the old covenant, sinners dared not draw near to the symbol of God's presence in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Only the high priest could do that. And he could only do that once a year. And when he did that, he did so with great fear and trembling. Our text tells us that because of Jesus, who is our great high priest, who entered into the most holy place of God in heaven, we now can come before God at any time, for any reason, with no fear or trembling. Because of Jesus, who he is, and what he has done for us, there is nothing that stands between us and God. in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence, Paul writes to the Ephesians. Every single one of us who trusts the blood of Jesus can have this kind of confidence and enjoys the privilege of standing before the throne of God's power and grace. And since we have this kind of blessed access to God's throne, our text says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled, catch the reference to holy baptism, to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We can always take God at his word. My friends, what an amazing privilege we have. Because of the holy, precious blood of Jesus that washes us clean of all of our sins, and because of the sprinkled water of baptism, which wraps us up in Jesus' great work of salvation, we have the power of God and all the resources of his Spirit at our disposal. We can encourage others. We can lift up the downhearted and raise up the fallen. You and I can be God's tools in restoring our brothers and sisters in the faith to a blessed relationship with God. They are our brothers and sisters because in Christ we are all one community. We are one family in him. And so pray. All of us in the family of believers can pray. Friday afternoon, I visited one of our elderly members, one of your brothers in the faith, who is now in hospice care, a man who was very active in his life and now is looking at his death. And he lamented, Pastor, what can I do? What can I do? And I said, Carl, you can pray. You can pray. Encourage. All of us as part of God's family in Christ can offer words of encouragement to others. The smile on our face, the gleam in our eyes, all of these things are encouraging to others. Listen. Why has God given us two ears and one mouth? Sometimes the greatest encouragement we can offer someone is just to listen. How often haven't people come into my office to lay out their troubles for me, and I'm all set to say something, and before I open my mouth, they say, Pastor, thank you, you've helped a great deal. We can encourage just by listening and be willing to restore. For Jesus has given to us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Let's read what he once said to his disciples, and he certainly means us today. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We ask next, where should we encourage? The short answer to that question is everywhere, but our text today speaks of something very specific. It says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. The word for meeting in our text comes from the Greek word for synagogue and has with it the thought of a formal gathering. Today, these formal gatherings are our worship services, and by extension, our small group gatherings. These gatherings, these places of meeting together, have as their purpose spurring one another on toward love and good deeds and the encouragement of God's people. Sadly, then, as now, many ignored these meetings. They felt that they didn't need them. But my friends, we need the fellowship of community. We need the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in the faith. We need to be in the place where we can be spurred on toward love and good deeds. In short, we need to be where God's people are. My dad, as you know, was a pastor, and he shared with me the following story. I doubt if it's true, but it sure packs a punch. A pastor was visiting the home of one of his members who hadn't been in church for quite a while. He found the man at home sitting in his chair in front of a blazing fire. The pastor walked over to the fireplace, grabbed the tongs, grabbed a burning hot coal from the fire, and laid it aside on the hearth. The two of them watched that ember burn out together. All of a sudden, the guy said to the pastor, "Pastor, don't say a single word. I'll be there next Sunday." How about we make it our goal to encourage one person this week? How about we make it our goal to encourage one person every week? How about you give it some thought to getting involved in an effort here at St. Paul's to encourage two or three members who need a connection to their church family? Do you need that connection to your church family? Check out the back of your connection card. Mark one of those two, or both of those two, and then we'll talk about how we can get you involved. Finally, why is there such an urgency to encourage? The last verse of our text ends on a somewhat down note, a foreboding note, when it says, "And all the more as you see the day approaching." If we take Jesus at his word, if we believe what he tells us, Judgment Day isn't that far away. The closer we get to the last day of this world, there's a need, there's an urgency for us to encourage. We live in such a fractured world. There's corruption in politics, there's crime out on the streets, there's immorality around every corner. Sin hasn't only been legalized, it's promoted today. We are more anxious, more stressed out, more worrisome than we've ever been before. Suicide rates are at an all-time high. Our natural response is to get angry, bitter, and critical. We want to tuck our heads under our wings and run away and hide. We want to lock ourselves in our church and close the doors to others. We want to take refuge in this citadel of safety and security. But none of these responses is an encouraging one. None of them heals. None of them cures fear and worry. Not a one of them solves the problem of sin. Only Jesus does that. Only Jesus paid for sin when he went to the cross. And only Jesus says to us today, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus didn't run away and hide. He didn't lock the doors of the church. Jesus loved and he encouraged. How about we do the same? And all the more as we see the day approaching. Encouragement. It's not only important, it's vital for survival. And I know you agree with me when I say it finds its rightful place right here in God's church, the community of believers. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Today we make our confession of faith by singing the words of the Te Deum.